Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Enlightening Your Way. I'm your host, Nancy Lombardo. We are airing live simultaneously on the Louisville Blog Radio Show and, of course, here on the Louisville Assembly official Facebook page. I am a year-round resident here in Louisville and the president of the Church of Living Spirit, which is an independent spiritualist church here in Louisville. I'm a military veteran, retired police detective, and fitness and yoga instructor, and wellness is my passion. My show is a combination of my many life experiences that will feature various topics and guests to help enrich one's mind, body, and soul on your pathway to healthy living. My Facebook page is Wellness with Nancy Lombardo, where my motto is protecting and serving your well-being. And this week, my special guest is Dan Johnson, and our topic is Tarot, Truth, Mist, and Transformation. Dan is a certified neurotransformational coach, spiritual and past life regressionist, spiritual director, coach, guide, evidential medium, and tarot reader. He is an ordained metaphysical and spiritualist minister. Dan has been studying mediumship and tarot since 1993 and has been giving readings for clients since 1996. Dan has studied mediumship with many world-renowned mediums. Dan's life and spiritual coaching focuses on helping individuals and couples access and use their personal power, improve relationships, spiritual and intuitive development, career changes, business development, and attracting what they want in their lives. And Dan's website is centerforspirit.com. Thank you, Dan, for being here today. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate being here. It's a great opportunity. I appreciate it.
And you told me you're here from Florida, huh? This time
Palm Springs, California.
Oh,
I'm in the desert. Hence, I've got the.
I automatically thought Florida.
I think there is a Palm Springs, Florida, but Palm Springs, California. So I've got the Palm Springs and the mountains in the background to bring some desert vibe to our collaboration here today.
Well, it's the perfect background and it looks wonderful. How about we start off a little bit by you telling everybody a little bit more about yourself than what I didn't say in your intro.
One thing that I like to share with folks is that I'm a fish out of water. You know, so for anyone who's listening or watching who feels like they're the only one in their family who has an interest in the spirituality or spirit or spirit communication or psychic ability, I'm the only one in my entire family, not just my nuclear family, but extended family, cousins, aunts and uncles. So this was something that I kind of repressed or pretended wasn't there for so long because there was nobody else like me, not in my friend group or in my family, so to speak. So I like to let folks know that it doesn't have to be handed down from mom or grandma. It's, you know, spirit speaking to you regardless of circumstances. So from that, I went from a business background and also incorporated spirit work even in the corporate America. And people would say, you know, I want to work with you, but I can't put my finger on it, but I want what you have. What is it? And it was that sense of confidence and knowingness that being connected to spirit gave me that people were searching for, even in a leadership role.
Yeah. When you're talking about your spirituality and your mediumship, when did you realize you had these abilities?
Well, on a dare, I guess. You know, I grew up being very sensitive to energy. As a gay man and a gay child, I was always sensitive to energy in a room. Is this a safe place for me? Can I be myself here? But as I started, when I was 12 or 13, I was watching a Charlie Chan movie with my mom. And in that Charlie Chan movie, they used a Ouija board. And I was hooked. So I had to get one. And my sister and I used that. And that was my first introduction to that. And then later I found a spiritualist church where I lived for Tuesday night development class where I learned about spirit communication, psychic abilities. And then, you know, from there, everything took off. But it was at a young age, seeing it being done on television and then growing more in my spirituality through a spiritualist church and development class.
Is that like later in life?
The spiritualist church came when I was in my 20s. I was in a job that was really took the life out of me, but I traveled the world. The only thing that made sense for me was that Tuesday night development class. And then I still had some judgment on it, to be honest, about anything spiritual or anything psychic. And I was taking a 4-year intensive Gestalt class or a series on Gestalt therapy. Part of that class, you have to be supervised by someone. And my supervisor said, Dan, you bring spirit into so much of your work. I dare you to give me a tarot reading because I know you're just dying to. And I'm like, me? I've never picked up the cards before in my life. And that was my assignment, to give a tarot reading to my supervisor. And at that moment, I was hooked, not only just on tarot, but hooked on being more open and being more myself. So I'm very grateful. I remember that moment like it was yesterday.
Yeah, impressionable, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's just dive in because I told you personally part before we went live that I don't know a whole lot about tarot, in all honesty. So can you explain exactly what a tarot reading is?
Well, that's a big question. There are many different tarot readings as there are readers, but this is my experience having done this work for 30 years plus. A tarot reading can help present to a client the way the wind is blowing, the way the energy is flowing. And from that, the client can decide, ooh, do I like the way the energy is going and keep doing what I'm doing, or do I want to make a different choice? So there's always free will in the process, but the tarot reflects back to the clients what's happening in their lives, and it reflects back to them the energy, the way the energy is flowing, what's likely to happen next. And if I like that, I can keep doing what I'm doing. If I don't, I can make some changes. For me, it accesses that part of us, that wisdom that is eternal. Divine wisdom, our expanded self, or soul, that part of us that is eternal, it accesses that wisdom and helps reflect back to us what our soul wants to remind us in that moment when we have a question or we have a challenge. And it's great for self-study and work with yourself as well. So it's great to give readings, but there's a lot of transformation that can take place just through individual work with the tarot.
I want to make clear to people, because you are an evidential medium also, this is not a medium reading. You're not going
right. As mediums, we know we can connect to spirit, you know, at any time. We don't need the tarot for that. And that's important for some people to have that distinction. The tarot for me is more about accessing psychic wisdom, wisdom from our expanded self. And no, I don't use tarot in my mediumship. We can do that on a platform. Well, for some folks, they make a distinction between the two. For me, the tarot, I consider the tarot an activator of our psychic wisdom. And my mediumship is spirit people that I'm talking to. So that's the distinction for me that I like to make.
But tarot is more than one kind of deck, or is it the same deck?
Yeah. So, deck? You know, yeah. Well, one of the misconceptions is where tarot began. And so the tarot cards, So the tarot as we know it today began in Italy in the late 1400s.
Oh, I love that.
You know, there are, you know, myths about who tarot began with, the Egyptians, and prior to that time. When we look at extant data, which is, you know, as a police detective, you know, something that's observable, measurable, that you can count on facts, we know that there were tarot cards in existence in the late 1400s. Why? Because it was called the Cards of Triumph in Italy, and the paintings on the cards were of nobility. And so it behooved you, if you were a noble person, to have your impression or a painting of you on a tarot card. And so began as paintings of nobility. And then playing cards too. People think, oh yeah, well, playing cards came from tarot, not based on the extent or evidential facts that we have observable. There are playing cards that were prior to tarot, and even in China, there are playing cards, you know, as much as over 100 or 200 years prior to tarot as well. So there's a distinction. The tarot began as these paintings of nobility, and then over time, different folks have added their twists, they've added nuances, they've added different cards to the deck that we know today. The most common deck today called the Rider-Waite deck, and that was designed and completed in 1909. Wow. And that was the first deck to have illustrations on all of the cards of themes. Prior to that, you know, if you had in a tarot deck, you might have the Six of Wands, Prior to 1909, your Six of Wands card would be a number six and then six wands on it. In the Rider-Waite deck, it actually has a scene on it. And that was the first time that that had happened.
Do they all have similar scenes?
No. And this is the other thing, too. I like the Rider-Waite-Smith, also known as the Waite-Smith deck, for this particular reading. Rider was the publisher in 1909. Mr. Waite, A.E. Waite, belonged to the Golden Dawn. It was an esoteric society. And he had a colleague in the Golden Dawn named Pamela Coleman Smith. Mr. Waite conceived this tarot deck, and Pamela Coleman Smith put it to art. She did all the illustrations. In fact, we've seen a letter where Pamela Coleman Smith said, "Hey, I've got this great project at a very little price." So she illustrated 78 cards for a very little price. So each artist, each creator has their own idea for a tarot deck. Many of them today are based on this Rider-Waite system that originated in 1909 with Pamela Coleman Smith. And one thing cool I like about Pamela Coleman Smith, who's the artist for this particular deck, is that she had synesthesia. Have you heard of synesthesia before?
No, I don't know.
A synesthete is someone who can, like, they hear sound, or excuse me, they hear colors. Or Pamela Coleman Smith, when she would hear music, she would immediately get images in her mind and commit them to artistry. So they're able to experience one sense through another. Like they can see, sound. I'm sorry?
Kind of like our clairs, you know, our mediumship.
Clairs for me are about sensing spirit. I can see, hear, smell spirit, taste spirit, you know, their favorite food. This is more about, let's say, if there's music going on, someone hears the music, but they see something. So they experience music not with their ears, but with their sight. Or if they hear are seeing something, they immediately get a song in their head and start composing on a piano. It's like they experience different senses through the non-traditional sense, I guess is the simplest way of putting it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, totally makes sense.
Yeah, so it's still with the five senses, but experience them in a different way. And Pamela Coleman Smith, one time someone was playing Bach for her on piano, and immediately she was flooded with images and art she just had to create. And so one of the beauties of the Waite-Smith deck that I like is Pamela Coleman Smith's art, because for me, it's spirit inspired, because she is drawing not just from her eyes, but from her soul and all of her senses. And you can feel that in each of her illustrations on the Rider-Waite-Smith deck.
I'm intrigued just to look at that, just because of that.
The art is very cool. The Whitney Museum in New York recently had a special exhibit of her artwork. And it's just like any art, either speaks to you or not. But for me, it just has that mystical quality that just brings me to center and brings me in connection with wisdom.
I was curious if you knew what part of Italy it started in.
Northern Italy is what, as far as the research that I've seen goes. And there are folks other than me who are really into the history and making sure that we are very factual about it and have done a lot of historical research. And so they just say Northern Italy. Another misconception is that, you know, it came from the gypsies or Egyptians or others. Really, it was painting of nobility that began this whole process. And it actually became just a simple card game. And then in the 1700s, bits and pieces here and there, people were starting to use it for divination, meaning connecting to that psychic sense, that spirit wisdom, so to speak. And then fortune telling, believe it or not, a man in France named Alliette reversed the spelling of his name, and he said, "I'm now going to use the tarot for fortune telling." And so he's just kind of, right then and there, he said, "I'm going to do this for fortune telling." So I'm not big on fortune telling. I'm more on, here's the way the energy is flowing. You're always at choice. What do you choose to do? But sometimes it's helpful for us to see the way the energy is unfolding for us to make decisions to bring us closer to what it is we want to create.
I particularly don't like the wording of fortune telling myself. But.
Yeah, it's not something that I do.
The full-blooded Sicilian in me was just curious about that, so.
Sure.
What do you believe are some of the myths? I mean, you've been in this, doing this for, what did you say, 30 years? Mm-hmm. What have you heard? What are some of the myths that surround the tarot reading?
Well, you know, we've talked about some of them already. The origins of tarot are one of the myths. And that playing cards came from tarot, that's another myth. Another myth, I love this, you know, when we see movies or TV shows and someone is using tarot cards, they always turn over the death card and you hear that music and makes it very spooky and stuff, you know? That just cracks me up. So that death card in tarot is a fabulous card. And it's really about how we need to die to something to create something new, clear away what's old to create something new. Only in rare circumstances, never in my work has it ever meant someone is going to transition. It's really about I have to die to my old way of being, or it's time for me to, you know, shift gears. I'm going to take on a new career. That's what that's about. And it's also about clearing away the old to make room for something new. So that's another myth. You know, another myth is there's a card called the Devil card. When we look at it closely, we can see the true meaning is how we imprison ourselves in our own thoughts. We keep ourselves chained, or we keep ourselves stuck because of our way of thinking. And the devil is having fun with us saying, well, how much boiling water can you stand until you finally get yourself out of this situation? Because your own limiting beliefs are what's keeping you in place. Wouldn't you rather take the initiative and get out of this situation versus keeping yourself in a place that's really uncomfortable? So that's another myth that I like to clear out. It's really about a choice and it's about openings. It's not about this is determination. This is reflecting back to you what's going on, having awareness, conscious awareness of that. What do you choose to do moving forward?
Is revealing a good word?
Revealing, yes. Insightful, yes. Reminder, yes. Confirmation, yes. And also surprise can also be that too. You know, one of the things I love when I'm teaching a tarot class is when people, they learn some techniques and start working with tarot. They have no prayer knowledge. They've not read any tarot books. They've used some simple techniques and come away with, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. This is so helpful to me. I want to know more. They get really hungry. So it's really enlightening, shedding light on something, and it's expansive in its ability to awaken what's within us or awaken knowledge that we didn't know we had inside of us.
You're talking about the whole myth, and I'm picturing in my head the old lady sitting in the table with the crystal ball, the dark room, and you're right, the death card.
Yeah, it makes for a great TV show and makes for some great atmosphere, but it also gives tarot, for me, bad reputation. Like, that is not what this is about at all. I know I don't do this, but I know therapists who actually use tarot, and there are psychologists who've written how they use tarot in their psychology work. There's a lot of inner work that can be done and a lot of self-transformation that can be done through tarot. Another cool way that I love to use the cards and the way Pamela has drawn the cards is a Gestalt technique about what's figural. You can see the same card day after day after day, year after year, but something new from that card will pop out. In Gestalt, they call it figural. What pops out from the background? And that is my expanded self or my soul saying, I want you to pay attention to this. This is what I want you to focus on. This is the message for today. So that is really cool. Even as a reader with so much experience, sometimes I look at a card and go, I never noticed that before. So that's a way of getting my attention, of communicating with me about what to share with the client or what to share for myself, and so I'm using tarot for myself.
And you're right, some of those cards are so detailed. I mean, you can't see everything in just one glance, for sure.
And with Pamela Coleman Smith, she was a member of the Order of the Golden Dawn as well. Everything written, everything drawn on the card had a purpose. It wasn't, oh, this would look pretty. It was, this has a purpose. There was a reason why there's this color. There's a reason for this facial expression. There's a reason why this color is covering this part of the body, whether it's the heart or the head. There's a reason why this person is wearing this clothes. It's the reason why this person is facing this direction. There was very deliberate placement of everything on each card, which I appreciate in her work.
Okay, I have another question that my naivety, is that the word? But I'm thinking other people are listening might have the same kind of question. So,
sure.
Is there a difference between a tarot deck and an oracle deck?
My experience of oracle decks can be made up of any number of cards, and the creators can put anything they want on them. A tarot deck traditionally, doesn't have to be, but traditionally has 78 cards, and they're separated into two sections, the major arcana and the minor arcana. Major secrets, minor secrets. The majors are a set of 22 cards that are about spiritual energies, archetypal energies in Jungian terms. And then the other 56 cards are about our life here on the earth plane. And you mix those up together, it makes a great combination. So traditionally, a tarot deck will have kind of two sections, the spiritual side, everyday side. An oracle deck can have any format it wants. The artist can draw anything they want, anything they're inspired. The artist could have an intention, may not have an intention, have a different intention. So there's, I would say, from my experience, less structure to an oracle deck. And for me, a tarot deck, the ones that I use were designed for deliberate purpose and were specific in each of the drawings. Some oracle decks are that way, and some oracle decks are simply an artist's inspiration to draw cards and, you know, see how that works for folks. One of the oracle decks, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, there are a lot of decks out there, and I think people might be confused by all of the decks.
Yeah. So there were an oracle deck called Soul Card that I kind of cut my teeth on because there weren't any fast and hard rules about how they were to be interpreted. That was a great way to wake up for me using those cards. So I think of it as, this is the way my soul wants to speak to me. What communication method? And so for me, tarot was one where, you know, it lit up for me. It's like, ooh, it's like my soul said, I want to communicate to you through this set of cards. And so anyone listening, whether it's a tarot deck or oracle deck, pay attention to what grabs your attention, what makes you lean in, what makes you like, ooh, that's it. That's your expanded self saying, hey, let's talk using this tool. Let's talk with each other.
Yeah, I like that. So you said there's two traditional. Do you pull a certain amount from each card, or do you shuffle them and just randomly pull cards?
So folks who use tarot can use a spread where they have like a diagram of cards on in front of them on their cloth. I'll draw 10 cards, and this position has a specific meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one way you can use tarot. Another way that you can use tarot is simply just draw a single card and get some meaning from it. You can ask a single question, get a card from that. I use spreads, but more frequently I use, when I'm having a conversation and doing a reading with someone, I will pull one or more cards, as many as I feel led to pull, to create a response or to create some energy for that person to respond to. So it can be as free-flowing as picking a single card or as many cards, or you can have, for those who like some structure, they can create a spread and say, I'm going to pull 10 cards, and this card in this position represents you. This card represents your challenge. This card represents a way you can break through that challenge. You know, there are many, many different ways that folks are using it. And folks who are using it by themselves can use a dialogue process where they pull a card a day, and they actually have a written dialogue with the energy of that card and just free flow, free write for 10 minutes. And see what happens in that dialogue. Because the key is, the tarot essentially is reflecting everything that's within you anyway. This is an aspect of you that wants your attention for that day. And what inspiration or words of wisdom does that have for you? So it can kind of activate that dialogue. So I think I've gone all over the place to answer that question, Nancy. So let me know if I gave you what you needed on that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I explained it perfectly. So yeah. In your experience, why would someone request a tarot reading over a medium reading?
So a mediumship reading, if I want to speak to folks on the spirit side, like my mom, my grandma, my grandfather, lends itself well to a mediumship reading.
Correct.
If I am a business leader, or let's say I'm self-employed, and I'm feeling stuck, or I feel like I've got some challenges, or I'm presented with several opportunities before me, the tarot reading can kind of give me a sense of which opportunity is something that I'm gravitating toward, and what might happen as I go down each of those paths, the way the wind is blowing. And then with that knowledge, what will I choose to do? What decision will I make as the person who always has free will? So mediumship, again, is I want to talk to spirit people, you know, folks who have passed on the other side. The tarot reading is more about me, my everyday life, and some challenges that I'm experiencing. Or a lot of folks want a tarot reading just because they're feeling stuck. It's like, what's going on? I feel like I'm in stasis. And a tarot reading can reflect back to us what's keeping us stuck, what lies on the other side of that stuckness, and how we can get to that other side of that stuckness.
That's perfectly explained. Perfectly explained. So in your experience, how have you found that tarot readings could be transformational for somebody?
Just like I mentioned, I just finished a 3-week tarot class with some folks who had never worked with tarot before in their lives. And so transformational in the essence of reminding people of who they are, that you are a spiritual being, reminding people of their own power when they're feeling powerless, reminding people of their connection to that part of them that is eternal, is very transformational. Giving people insight into options and choice, always putting people at choice, is another transformational aspect of tarot. If I choose this, what's the energy with that? If I make this decision, what's the energy with that? And based on that information, what do I choose to do moving forward? That can be transformational. And just a side note, you know, whenever I give a reading, tarot reading with someone, I say, you know, you can accept, reject, or counteroffer. This isn't predestined. This is the way the wind is blowing. What do you choose to do? A tarot reading can be transformational when I'm feeling powerless, or when I'm feeling stuck for myself, I can read for myself, or when I'm stumped, or when I want to meditate on something, bring me into that meditative state. Or the workshop that I'll be sharing in Lilydale later this summer, it's August 4th, on activating the angelic and archetypal energies of tarot. How can I be one with? You know, if I want to be, I feel like I need healing, or I'd like to heal myself more or experience healing. How can I be one with that energy? Well, there's a tarot card that represents the angel of healing, and how can I activate that and experience that more within me? I already have it, but for whatever reason, I'm feeling separate from it. How can I be one with that energy that's inside me, but I'm feeling disconnected, is another way that tarot can be used for transformation. And then also, I mentioned always putting people at choice. You know, the folks that I do readings for are either business people who have got business decisions, people who are in personal lives, like how can I be happier? How can I do what my life's calling is? What is my life's calling? You know, those are questions that can be answered working with the tarot, whether with a reader or by yourself.
It all sounds like you were saying before, being stuck. And also, I think it'd be very helpful for people with low self-esteem to be able to find themselves again in their direction in life.
And a reminder. So many people feel separate or cut off from that part of them that is eternal. And I always like to think of tarot as an experiential reading. It's not something that you're getting information in your head and going, okay, that makes logical sense. When people read with me and learn to read with me, they help their clients experience the energy in front of them. And when you experience it, you know it to be true. You know what's possible versus just hearing what's possible. There's a difference. There's an energy shift that takes place. And in neuroscience, you can see people leaning in because they know, oh, yes, this is me. I'm reminded of that. Thank you for that reminder. So they're actually leaning in from a neuroscience perspective. That means that they're digging in and becoming one with that energy.
Yeah, that body language for sure.
Yes, yeah.
So I know you said you're in California now, and I know you have a little house in Chicago.
Yeah.
My favorite question to ask, how did you first hear about Lilydale?
I heard about Lilydale I was going to my spiritualist church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we had Camp Chesterfield there.
Yes,
it's still there, and I had visited there. And then I asked one of my colleagues, you know, where else is there for us to experience this? I love it. Where else? And they had told me about Lilydale. In fact, Rose Van Den Unden is that person who first told me about Lilydale years and years ago when I saw her in Cincinnati. And I said, hey, you know, I told her where I was from and we chatted and we connected. And she said, have you heard about Lilydale? And so that's where I first heard about Lilydale many years ago. And that's where I got married. That's home for me. It is.
You got married?
It's like a reset. I did. I got married on the grounds. Yes, Neil married us on the grounds of Lilydale there. That's when marriage became legal. We call it our Uncle Sam wedding there on the grounds of Lilydale. So it has a special place in my heart, and it always feels like home. And
when did you first come here?
I would say it's close to 20 years ago that I came to Lilydale.
Did you have an impression the first time you were here?
I loved it. I lived closer to a camp in the Midwest, but Lilydale felt like home. I loved it. So nothing against that camp. Sorry, I just hit a button here on my desk. I had nothing against that camp in the Midwest, but Lilydale just felt more like home to me. And so it's like, I love the vibe. And actually, once you are there for me, you get in that energy and you become one with that energy. And like, this is the way life's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And every time I drive home, back home, it's a rough reentry. My friends and I call it a rough reentry because it's a different vibration outside the grounds. And so Lilydale's the reset, almost like that's the way it should be. And then when I leave, it's like, I want to keep this alive as long as I can, but you can feel an energetic shift just as I'm driving away in the car.
Yeah, I always try to explain that to people, and they really don't understand it until they get here and feel it.
Yes, you have to experience it on the ground. And for me, too, I like to immerse myself. I don't like to go off the grounds, even to eat or anything. I just like to be there and experience it and kind of soak it in because it's an energetic reset for me.
Did you stay at one of the hotels the first time you were here?
I stayed at the Maplewood, and it's like, it's not a Lilydale experience unless I'm at the Maplewood. I have a favorite room or favorite rooms there at the Maplewood, sitting on the front porch, and that's part of the experience for me. One year I did stay off the grounds, and it just wasn't the same. It just brought me out of that, being in that energy every time I had to go back to the hotel room. So I always stay on the grounds, and so far I've always been at the Maplewood, and that's part of the charm for me.
Do you have any experiences at the Maplewood?
I have a funny experience. My first time, I was room 16, and I kept hearing this thump, 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 thump. And so I told some other people in the building over lunch one day about what I was hearing, and these folks all thought they were ghost hunters. They were saying the Maplewood, like, we're going to figure that out, Dan. So the next night, I heard the thump, 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 and in the middle of the night, I knock on their door and say, come on, here, you can hear it, thump, thump, thump. And what it turned out to be, room 16, I think it is right above the laundry room, and it was a ceiling fan in room 16 that was making that thumping noise. So that was my first experience, but we all had a good laugh about that.
Could have made it something else, that's funny.
Yeah, but there, and then next door, there's a room, and the door plate is Adelaide. And my friend stayed in that room, and we got both of us picked up on Adelaide and her energy and what she looked like after my friend stayed there the first night. So that's been kind of a cool experience there. It's not Lilydale unless you stay at the Maplewood for me. Nothing against guest homes, but for me,
at least one time experience.
Yes, indeed.
I totally. So how did you get to where you started teaching classes here?
I had taken classes at Lilydale for years and years and years, and I had taught classes in my local vicinity, and I said, you know, I'm just gonna try this out. I was encouraged to submit proposals, and so that's kind of what got me started. For me, it's about, I really want to uplift and help people recognize the power and wisdom within them. And that was my impetus. It's like, I want to provide a place where people can wake up to their own wisdom and access it and be powerful themselves, not be reliant upon me as a medium or a reader. And so I thought, what can I do? What can I create to help people have that experience? So every class I teach at Lilydale, whether it's about dreams or numerology or your soul purpose, it's all about awakening to that power and wisdom within and how can you use that and seeing people connect to that and then use that and then hearing back later from them, wow, this is how my life has changed since then. That's the rewarding part for me.
And you're so, I mean, you come across just so energetic and uplifting and positive. So people are just attracted to all of that for sure.
And it's easy to be that way on the ground at Lilydale. And then also, as I mentioned earlier, I really like to reach out to people who have a curiosity or feel like, you know, they have some judgment about this interest or ability because no one else around them does. No one in their family accepts that or talks about it. No one in their family was a medium or had psychic ability, and they're feeling alone. I want folks to know you're not alone. There are others like you, and you form your own communities. Lilydale has given me lifelong friendships. You know, when I look at the folks that get me and understand me and have meaningful friendships, so many of them have ties back to Lilydale. We met at Lilydale. Mm-hmm. So it's a very rich place for me and for people to come to.
And so many people, like you say, come back year and year and year again. So it's a great thing. So let's talk about your classes you got coming up.
Sure. And I do want to acknowledge City of Light Spiritualist Church too, which has given me a home there as a minister there. I found a great community there too. So I want to acknowledge them. So coming up for me at Lilydale, I'm doing a class on dream interpretation, different methods for dream interpretation. That's by Zoom on April 20th. April 20th. And that's by Zoom. So that's accessible to anyone. So in that class, folks are going to learn different methods that they can use to get more understanding and more insight from their dreams, whether it's for themselves or someone else. And then during season. And during season on July 27th, I'm doing numerology and your soul purpose. So we're looking at numerology, number as a symbol, as a way of activating wisdom within you and how that connects to your soul purpose and how you can experience your soul purpose while you're here on this plane, earth plane.
Numerology, like with your birth dates and stuff like that, or just numerology in general?
Birth dates and just numbers. I mean, we play with numbers like what's the number of your house, what's the number of your hotel room, all those things, and how that's another way that our expanded self can communicate with us. We can gain information. It's energy. What's the energy of the number three? Well, there's some creative energy about that. So when I get a three, what's creative about this situation? You know, some people will say, you know, I've lived in this home and it just feels like a challenge. Well, we can look at it numerologically and understand, you know, well, that's numerologically the essence of this space where you're living in is all about challenge. So it provides
some people won't even buy a house unless it has the right number on it.
Well, that's me. I am well aware that, you know, when I've got a 22 or an 11, that's a different experience for me than when I have a number five. And, you know, I bought a five in the last 10 years, and man, it's been a challenge after challenge after challenge. Like, well, I knew it going in, it's panned out to be that way. So it's just helpful for me as an energetic reminder, an energetic messenger to me. Again, nothing is predestined, but energetically, this is what this place can represent. But also from your soul purpose aspect, how can you express that more in your life? What are the different ways to express that? And we look at numerology from a nature standpoint, not from a memorization standpoint. So it's easy to remember versus having to memorize this number means this. We look at where it comes naturally in nature. Yeah, and I'm also doing a intuition mastery class on August 2nd. I think that's going to be an evening class. Well, we'll learn to awaken our intuitive abilities and have several different ways of accessing and activating our intuitive abilities.
What's that
on
called?
August 2nd. Intuition mastery, August 2nd. I believe that's the night class this year, evening class, 6:30 to 9:30. And then on August 4th, we'll be an all-day class, and that's Activate Angelic and Archetypal Energies of Tarot Major Arcana. So we're going to look at tarot as an energetic activator reminder, both from an archetypal standpoint, which means energies we see throughout the world, like creativity, power, motherhood, fatherhood, sisterhood type energies. What does it mean to have a lot of strong will? What does it mean to feel powerless? What are those energies? How can I access those energies I want to experience more in my lifetime? And then there are tarot cards, several cards that represent angelic energies. And so we're going to look at what those cards are and how we can be one with that angelic energy of healing, or one with that angelic energy of transformation, and activate that, not only for ourselves, but also when we're doing readings.
That sounds interesting. And that's a whole day class?
That's an all day class, yes.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That sounds really good. And that's, do we cover all your classes?
Yes, those four, yes, indeed.
And uh-huh. I know the entire, all the classes are on the website right now, Louis Bell Assembly, Inc. Mm-hmm. website. Yes. You can go register for these classes right now. The catalog, I was just talking to some people today, actually, and it's still going to be a few weeks before the catalog actually comes out, but you can register, you can go online, you can look up the classes. I'm sure there's a little bit of explanation on each of your classes there, mm-hmm. so feel free to do that, and I know you have a pretty good following of people that like to come to your classes, so that'll be awesome if we can get more people that want to come experience Lilydale and everything it has to offer, for sure. I noticed on your website, the Center for Spirit, you offer a lot of stuff going on. Do you want to say anything about that?
Sure. Center for Spirit is kind of like the one-stop shop for me. So I mentioned I have a corporate background, so I still work with some corporate folks on ways of being a stronger leader. I work with some business folks on strengthening their business. I recently have worked with a lot of folks on either relationship issues, or they just want to experience, they're in a job, but it's like it's missing something. There's a lot of folks right now who are, I'm earning a decent living, but I'm just not, something's missing. And it's because there's a disconnect between what their energy wants to express through them and what they're doing. So that's on one side. I also do past life and between life regressions in the work that I do, psychic readings, mediumship readings as well. So, you know, it'd be nice to say I am a teacher, or I'm a physician, or I'm a firefighter, but I'm, everything I do has a connection. There's some spirit connection, but there's a lot of different ways of achieving that. So the work that I do pretty much asks you, you know, what's your goal? What would you like to come away with? And then I have a lot of different tools that I can use to facilitate to get you to that goal, whether it's a regression reading, mediumship reading, or coaching work with me, or spiritual direction. A lot of folks today are feeling like they're spiritual, but they don't have a community. They have a spiritual sense about them, but they don't see in traditions around them where they feel like they're at home. So they want, they're kind of on their own, but they still want some guidance as they forge that path. So that's another service that I offer.
It's funny you say that, because I was thinking about, I think a lot of people come to Lilydale because they are searching. They're searching, they're seeking, they're questioning, and it's the perfect place to contemplate all of that, you know, and find some answers. We're not always going to find all the answers, but can certainly find some of the answers.
And you can find community just in the people you sit down with at lunch, or you take classes with, or you learn from. That's a real important piece, because a lot of us are spread out around the country and we don't feel like we don't have community. Lilydale is one place where you can build your own community, which I'm very grateful for.
I have one final question for you.
Sure.
I would like to know, what is one of the most important things you have learned through your spiritual journey? Oh, that's a good
question. What are the most important things? For me, on my journey, long story short, when I explore my past lives, I've been playing with this concept of being seen and not being seen. Each lifetime, I'm either putting myself out there and everyone sees me, or some lifetimes I don't feel like I'm being seen. So in my spiritual journey, in this incarnation, has been all about being seen and allowing myself to be seen, how comfortable I am being seen, and tapping into that power within me that is eternal, and being comfortable letting myself being seen and letting my message about who I am be heard by others. So the most important thing on my journey is claiming my power and allowing myself to be seen and facilitating that same thing for others. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Okay.
It's a great answer. It's a great thing. Some people, it's hard to be seen sometimes. It's hard to bring that part of yourself out to people.
Well,
Yes,
you have to be vulnerable, and that's all about trust. But there's also that concept of vibrational match. You know, I can have a conversation with my neighbors here in Palm Springs and talk about being a medium, and it's like, life's there. Like, they'll start talking about cars or something. You know, it's like, it goes in one ear or the other. I could have a conversation with someone else here in Palm Springs. I'll say medium, and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm fascinated. I'm their new best friend, and they want to talk, you know, forever. So that's really fascinating to observe. And so not everyone, we're not all vibrational matches for each other, but my invitation this year is to allow myself to be seen by those who can and want to see. Have you had that experience, Nancy, where you might mention where you're on the like?
Totally.
Yeah.
Exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, you have been so informative tonight. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure people that are listening and watching are going to learn a lot from this. Will stay up and on. And if anybody has any questions, they're more than welcome to post their questions in the comments on Facebook, and we can go and look at them, and you can answer also. But I thank you so very much for joining me this evening. Dan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Nancy. It's wonderful to experience your energy, even via Zoom. So it's an honor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for joining us this evening. Please join me again in 2 weeks for our next episode of Enlightening Your Way, where my goal is to enrich your mind, body, and soul on your pathway to healthy living. Please visit this page often, the Lilydale Assembly, Inc. page, to learn and find out everything that's going on here in Lilydale. We got a lot going on. We got the solar eclipse coming up, so there's a lot going on here in Lilydale. Please also like my Facebook page at Wellness with Nancy Lombardo and my Instagram, nancy.k.lombardo. My name is Nancy Lombardo. I am protecting and serving your well-being. Thank you so very much for joining us this evening. Good evening, everybody. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.